What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Yalla, your thrice weekly podcast where we talk about the hottest news with a touch of what, Terrence?
Good old humor.
Good old humor, man.
Yeah.
How was your weekend, man?
It was pretty good. Yeah.
Pretty good.
I mean, it rained and everything, so it wasn't as warm, right?
Yeah,
it was nice.
But it didn't spoil your plans.
I mean, nowadays, like, when it's hot also, like, you also don't want to do anything. True, so you don't make any outdoor plans. So whether it rains or not, it's like, okay.
That's true. Friday was the first day I think it rained a shit ton.
Yeah.
Because Saturday I went to MacRitchie for a walk, which was nice.
Yeah.
I haven't been there for a long time.
Mm-mm.
Thankfully, it didn't rain. But yeah, actually, the past few days actually quite cool.
Yeah. It's been good weather.
Yeah, it's been good weather.
Yeah. Yeah. But other than that, like, generally, you know, like, stuff is after all the concerts and everything, you know, Singapore died down a bit quieter. I think no big ones on the horizon, right? Like concerts.
I mean, call it a concert, call it something else.
That's related to what I'm talking about. But
I think I won't be surprised if there's a lot of things in the works that are going on. Because we've just been through the first quarter, right?
Yeah.
Oh, first quarter, we got Coldplay, Bruno Mars, Taylor Swift. Who else?
Who else?
Was that all? No, right? Wasn't there Rod Stewart?
Okay, but he's not that level that we're
not
talking
that
about,
level.
Right? But I'm saying these big concerts, they sell tickets like 6 months in advance and all that, on the horizon, there's nothing, right?
Nothing
on the horizon, surprisingly,
F1 is still happening, right?
F1's always happening, man.
I don't know, man. I lose track there.
But
apart from that, I mean, the weekend, pretty chill. News-wise, also, like, some stuff happened over the weekend, which we will get into.
Yeah.
But apart from that, feels like a bit of a breather. Somebody you just came back from Korea, right? So like you're back to Singapore already,
back to Singapore. Efficiency, Singapore prices, everything. Cost of everything. Big sticker shock, every time I go overseas and come back.
You said that also last year when you went. Korea.
Korea also. Very big difference. Cost of living.
But. So I mean, like, a pretty quiet weekend. Some big stuff happened over the weekend, which we will talk about. Before we jump into that, anything you'd like to plug, Terrence?
If you're new to this podcast and you're one of the new subscribers who tipped us over to past 6,000 on YouTube, welcome. And it would help us a lot if you tell one friend in person about this podcast, or just to follow and subscribe.
And if you want to work with us or you want to just talk to us about anything, pitch any idea, you can check us out on our website, ministryoffunny.com, or email us at contact@ministryoffunny.com.
Cool,
man.
Wow. Let's jump into it. It's a very, very serious topic to begin.
Yeah, man.
The week. I mean, wow, what a weekend. Like, here we are talking about how Singapore weather, concerts and all that over the weekend. But in other parts of the world, there's other things to care about on the weekends.
Yeah. Because what happened on Saturday night, so Sunday morning, our time, Singapore time, right? There was actually yet another attack in the Middle East, which I only found out, early this morning, so Monday. And it comes off the back of a lot of things that have been developing over the past few weeks. But the big news is that Iran actually launched an attack on Israel, where they launched at about 170 drones, 30 ballistic missiles, and a few other things at Israel. I think only a handful of them actually made it through because they were shot down either by Israeli forces, the forces of other countries, or the famous Iron Dome. So there was, at this point, I think there have been one or two young children who have been injured.
Yeah.
But no confirmed casualties yet.
The children?
Fatalities. Fatalities.
Yeah, supposedly.
Yeah, and minor damage to a military installation. But there's been a lot of talk about what happens next. So, I mean, when you heard about this, were you aware of the things that led up to this?
No, I wasn't.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's also quite interesting, right?
Yeah.
Because all I knew was that this was an unprecedented attack, like a first ever attack on Israeli soil. By Iran. So in that sense, it's quite scary for everyone because as if things weren't already like tense enough and volatile enough in the Middle East, like, right?
Yeah.
This adds a whole new flavor to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, what were you aware of or not aware of before this?
Yeah, same thing. So, I mean, now the sad thing is that whenever you hear tension in the Middle East, it's like a given already. La.
Yeah.
It's like the norm. So whenever you hear new tension between this country and that country, it almost feels like you're almost desensitized to it, which is sad. So when this happened, I was like, oh shit, like attacking another country on their home, on their own soil with not just one or two missiles, with a lot of missiles is a major thing.
Yeah.
But then same like you, I also didn't know that a couple of weeks ago, there was an attack on the Iranian consulate in Damascus, which is in Syria, by Israel.
Yeah.
Actually, it's allegedly by Israel because Israel still hasn't claimed it yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But I think all indicators point to Israel having attacked the consulate and killing 16 people. Admittedly, like apparently a lot of them were involved in a extremist group of Iran that was using the consulate, but it was still attacking the Iranian consulate in another country. And since then, this has been brewing. I think Iran warned them of retaliation. Even Biden apparently was telling, you know, Iran, you know, just hold, like, don't go crazy, you know.
But in the end, Iran not to go crazy.
Yeah, or basically Biden and his team were on high alert.
I think they were telling Israel that an attack is imminent.
Ah, yes, correct. They were telling Israel. They didn't tell Iran because Iran is also, Iran and US also not best terms. So when this happened, I mean, when I was listening to the BBC podcast this morning, I was getting a bit freaked out. In the sense that, okay, everything that I've read so far, I've understood is like, these attacks were done from Iran's perspective. They said this operation is complete.
Yeah.
You know, they just wanted to, I mean, in some way, they wanted to retaliate for the attack,
yeah,
but they're not going to do anything else.
But
then they warn if there's something that is shot back at them, they will retaliate with even greater force.
Clap back.
Yeah, they will clap back.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you see all like Netanyahu having a war cabinet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, Biden also having a team with his defense representatives. So it feels like shit. Is shit about to go down?
Yeah.
Or is this going to de-escalate? So that's why it's a bit freaky.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what's interesting is all the intersection of the relationships between different countries here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
US being an ally of Israel and also a very strong enemy of Iran, right? Mm. And Iran also being an enemy of Israel. Basically now, like, yeah, I think like Israel also went to the UN and said like, why are you not condemning Iran's attack, right?
Yeah.
Cause it's a hostile act against another country, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Iran is telling the UN that they have a right to self-defense also.
Yeah.
Which is what, you know, Israel was also saying about right to self-defense when it came to like when Hamas attacked and everything also. So it's just this very intricate play of like who's in the right, who has the right to respond or who has the right to attack and everything, right?
Yeah.
And Iran also saying that it is retaliating to Israel, right?
Yeah, being pretty open about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Apparently they claimed that they had given a warning even to the US and other Israeli allies beforehand that they were going to do this. Which has been denied by the US and Israel, right?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so it seems like a very big chess move. Like they do this little action and then sort of just waiting to see what will happen, right?
Yeah.
And now we're starting to see, oh, okay, this is how countries are going to respond and everything.
Yeah, because even, I mean, Singapore has come out to condemn Iran's attack on Israel. But you know, when you look at the other forums in Singapore, like Reddit or some of the more alternative news sources on social media, there's a lot of people saying, oh, how come Singapore didn't condemn the Israeli attack on the Iranian consulate? I mean, I don't think Singapore made a statement on that. Right. So again, it feels like, but I mean, are they the same? Are they different? On one hand, the Israeli attack actually killed people.
Yeah.
But I've seen some people point out that it was, I think all the consulates around that consulate were not damaged. It was very targeted and the people who were killed were known extremist leaders. Again, like hard to verify.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, it just feels like, Oh shit! And when you apparently, so Iran is also like I think like I don't know what they were actually on good terms with Israel. Apparently, lah, when the Shah was still in power up to 1976, when there was a revolution, lah, and then after that they've been like I think part of their extremist doctrine is to get rid of Israel.
Yeah.
And they fund a lot of other extremist groups in the region, like Hezbollah in Lebanon, who apparently were also shooting some, were targeting Israel during the Iranian attacks. So then when you step back, right, Israel, there's a lot of pressure from all around them.
Yeah.
And it almost feels like, oh shit, if, yeah, like what you say, maybe is it a chess move to just poke and just make Israel do something that will unite all the Muslim countries around it. So it feels like, oh shit, this could be a tipping point, or is this going to be the first time we actually see de-escalation?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, because, I mean, even on like all these forums, you know, people are saying, oh, you know, if Iran really wanted to strike and really wanted to cause major damage, you know, they can easily surpass the Iron Dome that is covering Israel and all that, right?
Yeah.
And they wouldn't be sending all these like drones that are so easy to shoot down and everything, like, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the level at which people are sort of like examining the chess moves, saying that Iran is sending easy to take down targets, you know? Saying that, it sounds like a lot, like 200 over unmanned aerial vehicles, but if they can all be very easily shot down by the Iron Dome, you know, that's then is it really a threat, right? Like, I think maybe one injury, two injuries, maybe. Yeah. But other than that, it's like everything else is fine. So, but I guess that the question is like, yeah, just because the Iron Dome can defend against these missiles, does it mean that make it less of a provocation than if there were real casualties and all that?
Right? Yeah. But just to clarify, it wasn't just the Iron Dome, no? That's where it gets like, oh shit, this is not just between Israel and Iran, because the UK sent RAF fighter jets.
Yep.
The US had their fighter jets.
Yeah.
Apparently, Jordan's air defenses also intercepted and downed dozens of Iranian weapons, and France as well. So it's not just like Israel versus Iran.
Yeah.
So that's on the Israeli defense side. And then like, if you look at the stress or the pressure that Israel is facing, right? So this whole time they are still battling a war with Hamas in Gaza, right? Then they're getting attacked by Iran. Hezbollah from Lebanon apparently were attacking them as well. Then in the Red Sea, there is the Houthi rebels who are also backed by Iran. There is Iraq. And there have been attacks on like I think about 2,500 military US military forces who still remain. And then Syria, there's similar attacks by militias who are allied with Iran.
So
people are talking about World War III. I don't think we are there yet, but it feels like, oh shit, is this gonna boil over?
There's a lot going on, but so you're saying that you have a lot of sympathy for what is happening for the Israelis.
No.
You say a lot of pressure and everything. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say sympathy.
Okay.
I would say like, because all this goes back so far that I'm not going to claim to have like a full knowledge to understand the conflicts with each of those countries. I'm just saying that it feels like there's something bigger than just this one attack. What you said, this is just a... could be just a strategic move to see what happens next. Because if Israel... retaliates, right?
Yeah.
You can imagine like apparently Biden has been quoted as telling Netanyahu, because they had like a 20 something minute call to paraphrase something to like, you know, just take it and leave it.
It's a win.
It's a win, because you look at the general optics of Israel these past 6 months, right? I think generally people, there's a sentiment that they have gone too far in Gaza, right? Yeah. They have killed too many civilians.
Yeah.
So in this case, if they are getting attacked by Iran to that extent, it almost kind of like highlights the pressure that they face as a country in that region. But if they retaliate, then it's almost like more of the same.
You'll kickstart something bigger, right?
Yeah, it'll kickstart something bigger. And on the other hand, like if I had to just guess now, I can't imagine them not retaliating.
Yeah, yeah.
because that's like the whole philosophy of Israel, right? Don't mess with us because we will retaliate, lah.
It's basically like this move is like when somebody scold your mother, then you don't play mother.
And then yeah, then they play again.
They play again, yeah. And then it's like you cross that line, even though it's just words, right? Yeah, it's just words, but you play mother, that's it already, lah.
No, and like it might be the best thing to step down.
Yeah, to de-escalate, yeah.
Yeah, but then if someone else see this person play mother,
yeah,
and you don't do anything,
yeah,
then how?
Then he'll come and play mother.
Yeah, they all then play mother.
So I mean, yeah, lah. It's kind of a yeah. The situation is kind of strange because yeah, it was very minimal damage to Israel, you know, compared to what Israel is doing in Gaza, for example, right? Yeah. Not that those are apples to apples comparisons, but I think like what the US is saying to Israel is like just take it as a win that you know your defense capabilities protected you, lah, right? Mm. But from Israel's side, it's like, how can you just sit there and let another country attack you?
Yeah.
Even if there are no casualties, even they come and attack you, this like really is really play mother already. Oh.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. I mean, I can imagine like one school of thought saying, we attacked your embassy in another country. We didn't attack your country.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like I play mother outside your house.
Yeah, yeah.
You are coming to my house.
And play mother.
And play mother.
House. Yeah. You my want, mother sitting there.
We go to another house and then you play mother.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. So for them, it's like, you could see it that way also.
Yeah. But again, we're not justifying Israel's actions whatsoever. Yeah. I think the whole thing is just, you know, it's basically a shit show lah right now.
Yeah.
But even in the diplomatic space, I think all the other countries are being drawn into this chess match. Kind of. You know, like I think on Wake Up Singapore, they pointed out that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs statement is very different from the statements coming from the US and UK and all.
Mm.
Because, I mean, just Wake Up Singapore, the post said that it provides the context to what precipitated Iran's missiles, the attack on Iran's diplomatic premises in Syria. And most other statements from other countries did not include that information. And second, it keeps the focus on Gaza by calling for ceasefire, provision of humanitarian aid and return of hostages. So it focuses things back to the Israel-Gaza war, right, mm-hmm. and what needs to happen there. So in that sense, you know, actually Wake Up Singapore here is praising the MFA's response compared to the US or the UK and all, which were much more just straight up condemning the attacks and not really talking about any context, right?
Oh, that's true.
Because, it was quite an interesting observation that I saw here that I was like, oh, okay. I mean, in that sense, the MFA statement provides much more meat, right?
Yeah, because I can imagine people reading the headlines. Like, you look at the headlines, CNA, like, or Mothership, you know, it is Singapore condemns Iran's attack on Israel, calls for all to exercise maximum restraint and avoid escalatory action. And then, Straits Times also, yeah, condemns attack. It's all condemned attack. But so for maybe someone who's just reading the headlines in passing, you wouldn't know about the attack on the Iranian consulate in Damascus.
Yeah, admittedly, I didn't.
Which is a big piece of it. So I mean, kudos to MFA for that statement.
Yeah.
Because
MFA, they don't even say that whether it's true, right? They just said that, which was Iran stated was in response to an attack, right?
Yeah.
So they're just quoting Iran on that and not saying that is the fact of what happened. Because we don't 100% know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then like why you think like Singapore should understand all this stuff that's going on or even be wary? Or you think we as the lay people in Singapore need to be wary?
We have to be because immediately even in a lot of the social media responses to this this attack right by Iran, some of the social media responses were very one-sided. And because you know all of this took place during a very festive religious period also, right, there were even some comments like almost celebrating this act of hostility from Iran, right? And I think, I don't know whether those were, I mean, some people say that those were bots and all that, right? Which it very much could be. But it tells you that either there are people or there is an attempt to try to unite at least use people's religion and everything to push an agenda, right?
Mm.
A lot of the comments I saw, maybe not now because there's been some filtering, but the initial comments I saw were very, almost like gleeful, right, in describing what was going on, when actually all around it's just a very scary situation for everyone. And if what you wish for is really ceasefire and peace in Middle East, this does not bring things any closer, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, even reading some of the statements now, it's like, I think a lot of people, I mean, some people are pointing out that, MFA issued a statement on February 29 that all states have a right to self-defense in support of Israel. Then you get some people saying that, still biased, MFA didn't condemn Israel's attack on Iran. So it's all looking at this isolated incident and making comparison. So you read it also, you're like, oh shit. It's getting polarized. Right. It's getting polarized. And I'm surprised that it doesn't seem like it's occupying that much of mainstream consciousness in Singapore.
Yeah.
But to me it's like, it's damn worrying, what's happening there.
Mm.
Because this actually, I mean, it's worrying, but maybe it's because we're all desensitized, unfortunately.
Right. You and me. I think there's still some people who are very vocal about it in Singapore, right?
No, I would say even if I would imagine that people read the headlines as an attack by Iran on Israel, it almost, the sad thing is, it feels like, is this really already extraordinary?
Mm.
Maybe you missed something last week where someone else attacked someone else.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I feel like. Maybe now it's reaching that it's almost happening so often that there's less of a desire to want to find out. Over the weekend, there was also that Sydney mall stabbing, right?
Mm.
Because things like that don't happen often in Sydney.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell happened? But in the Middle East now, there's so much conflict that, it feels like there's less of a need to dig.
I mean, our hope also is to talk to Singaporeans who are very deeply connected to what's happening in Middle East as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or who have very strong opinions about it, right? I would also like to find out from them, what they're hoping for in a lot of the things that they're doing, in activism and everything, right?
Mm.
So that's, right now for us as lay people, we do feel that fatigue when talking about issues in Middle East. But I feel it's damn scary, right? Because it did not, I only until I did research, I was like, first ever attack on Israeli soil from Iran and all that. It's a real provocation.
And you see the videos. I mean, there were air sirens that were announced. I would imagine for a country like Israel where you're in the middle of almost like conflict all the time, to have the air raid sirens come out, it means that it is serious. Right. And you see the videos of the things being like shot down in midair. It's scary, man.
Yeah. In Singapore, the only sounds that make me really riled up is like when some boomer is listening to some loud music
on the train,
on the train and all that. Then I'm like, get angry.
On the bicycle, because you can hear it on a distance.
Fuck.
Then, so,
but that one, they pass by very quickly. But the train one is like,
they're stuck
all the
there.
Time.
They're stuck.
That's
there.
The extent that we get irritated by, like sounds and all that. But here it's like, sirens and telling you to evacuate and things like that.
So, I mean, the next few days are going to be, there's definitely going to be an update on this, because even Biden said he's going to get his G7 group together to have a diplomatic response, whatever that means. I think the next few days, we're definitely going to get updates on this. I just hope that it doesn't spiral.
And if you're in Singapore, I guess it's just be... mindful of the comments that you're seeing and reading also, right? Mm. That they could be bots, they could be, meant to polarize people. And it could come from either side, we really don't know that, right?
Mm.
And that's the scary thing about social media.
Then even if it's not bots, even if it's humans, just maybe engaging and, just if you're making it more polarized, nothing is going to be solved by comments. Right? So, I don't know, man. It's scary times.
Moral of the story is don't use your phone when you're using the toilet, right? Just don't use social media so much.
that's what I'm trying to practice. Mm. No phones in the toilet these days. Yeah. But yeah, man. I mean, like like what you said, like we do want to hear from people. As much as we say it's almost feel desensitized. I think that's just a unintended consequence, like. It's still a very important thing that we need to talk about and be wary of, like.
Yep.
And not just read the headlines, like.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Damn.
Tricky, man.
But yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of conflict going on far away in the Middle East. But hopefully in Singapore, we're going to have events that will bring everyone together, like a big congregation of people together, happy event, you know, that's happening soon, you know, in Singapore, right?
Mm.
And what is this big event?
It is something that we alluded to earlier about how, as much as there's no concerts on the horizon for the rest of the year, there's a... What could be like a different kind of concert happening in September, because the news broke over the past few days that the current Pope Francis is going to be making a stop in Singapore from September 11th to September 13th. And this is 38 years after since the last time a Pope visited Singapore. That was in November 1986 with Pope John Paul II.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, some of the news, the way it was phrased also, like that Singapore is the last leg of his Asia tour. Like this is literally the phrasing on the CNA article.
Yeah.
Because before that, he will be in Indonesia and Papua New Guinea and Timor-Leste. How do you feel when you heard the Pope is coming?
That was the big announcement everyone was hoping for, right? The next big figure to come down to Singapore after Taylor Swift and Bruno Mars and all that.
Yeah, man.
And it was even more fitting that Edwin Tong was the one who had a very big Facebook post. I don't know whether it was announced on his page, but he wrote about it, like, about how he visited the Pope and actually extended the invitation for him to come to Singapore, like, right?
Yeah.
And now the Pope is making it like I don't know whether it's not a six concert extravaganza, right? But he's here for 3 days, 2 nights.
Yeah.
So it's still a big deal. I can imagine it. And the other places that he's visiting, he's not going to a lot of our Southeast Asian neighbors.
Yeah.
He's going to Indonesia, yes. But he's not going to Philippines, which has a very big Catholic population as well. So I don't know whether there'll be anger there, like, you know.
He's doing a Taylor Swift.
Yeah, he's doing a Taylor Swift, like, basically skipping the Philippines again. Or maybe there'll be a lot of people who come to Singapore to actually see him. Like. I can only imagine that, you know, it will have to be at the stadium, like, right?
Mm.
For him to have anything.
I mean, the last time he came, apparently he held a mass at National Stadium and 70,000 people went.
Wow.
Because my wife is Catholic, right?
Yes.
And I know her mom went for that.
Oh yeah.
And she said it was amazing.
It's like the Michael Jackson concert. like how it was for us in 94, is it?
Exactly. 70,000. I think Michael Jackson had like 50,000.
I remember 55,000.
Yeah. So I think 70,000 because of like kids and stuff like that.
And he probably doesn't need as big a stage as Michael Jackson needed.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. Yeah.
He doesn't need.
Like the sound doesn't need to be so good and everything, like, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I heard was that it rained during that day.
Wow, showers of blessings.
But when he came out, there was a huge rainbow.
Oh, really?
That's what I heard. Like.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
Yeah.
But in this case, if you think about Edwin Tong's post, he wrote it like as though he found out. He said, "I'm very happy to hear that Singapore will be welcoming Pope Francis this September. I look forward to showing Pope Francis our Singaporean hospitality, diversity and harmony come September. We will work closely with the church to plan a meaningful visit." So, I don't know whether he had a hand in this. I don't know whether he flew to the Vatican, you know, 2 years ago to start seeding this.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, if it really is something that, you know, the Sports Hub team decided, you know, we're not just going to targeting pop stars.
Yeah,
you know?
Pop stars.
Yeah.
Pop stars. Okay,
that's a dad joke to the max. Like religious celebrities.
Yeah.
You know, fuck, man, this is like another win. Because people will totally travel. I think people will totally travel.
Yeah. And I don't think it's Edwin Tong just jumping on a bandwagon here. I'm pretty sure it's calculated, because if he's the one announcing it, I'm sure it won't be. If whoever was the one who brought it in, would have wanted to be the face of it, right?
Mm.
So if Erwin Tong is posting, but I'm sure it's him.
So you think now he's like a humble, like, he just needs to post and people will just know that, okay, Edwin had something to do.
Yeah, we talked about his
Tong Tong brings Tete.
Yeah, and now it's like, wow, the Pope Francis next, man. Like, Kalang is really coming alive, man.
Wow, Kalang alive. This is, yeah. You can sin at one concert and then, you know, like, redeem yourself at the next,
All the stars that have come so far, quite tame, right? Yeah, not say tame, but...
I don't think there'll ever be a wild star or controversial star that comes to Singapore perform. Right?
I don't know. I also heard over the weekend or something that Taylor Swift apparently rejected multi-million-dollar offer to perform in Dubai.
Mm.
Yeah, I think this was... apparently, I saw in the Hindustan Times, so I don't know how accurate it is. Taylor Swift rejected.
Yeah, why Hindustan Times cannot be accurate?
I don't know, because it's only one article.
Oh, okay.
Taylor Swift, relax. Yeah, don't let's not pull race into this, okay? Or religion into this. Taylor Swift rejects $9 million offer for private UAE gig. Yeah, so yeah, you know, really tells you something about the fact that they are choosing to come to Singapore.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Do you think there'll be like a category 1,000 again, like the Taylor Swift concert?
I won't be surprised, though.
That means people in Tanjong Rhu all like praying together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, for every mass, there are like, you know, like the hymns and some sort of like songs, you know. So I won't be surprised.
You can sing along, right, basically, you're saying?
I guess so.
Yeah. Be a big deal.
Yeah. I don't know. Sally, I also end up going because of my
wife. Yeah. You know.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mentioned when we went for the Bruno Mars concert a few weeks ago, it really felt like the staff there, they are building up this muscle to host events like this.
Correct, yeah.
And you add this to another feather in the cap.
Yeah.
You know, religious figures.
Yeah.
Though the current Pope Francis, actually, he's quite polarizing also.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, he's quite polarizing.
He's quite progressive views.
Yeah, a bit too progressive.
And also, I mean, still, a lot of people still talk about all the alleged cover-ups, right? For what the... A lot of the religious scandals, leaders are doing. Yeah.
The scandals and all.
So whether he's addressed those adequately is another question.
Yeah.
But here's my thing, right? If he's here for 3 days, right? I mean, okay, let's say one day there's going to be like a big mass.
Let's say the 12th, yeah.
What else do you think he'll do?
Tetarik.
Hmm?
Tetarik.
Oh, like Ashur. Or Maki, not with Maki. One night Maki. A 10 million appearance in Maki.
I don't know.
Or like Taylor Swift, just go to some restaurant MBS and that's about it. That's all she did. What do you think he'll be doing in the street? Do you think they'll bring him to around Gardens by the Bay and everything?
I don't know. I would imagine that it's going to be more like a social impact kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, going to a home or some sort of charitable efforts or philanthropic efforts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be meeting with any watchmakers in Singapore, watch rap makers or anything. Yeah.
Or hanging out at La Pasad or something.
Yeah. No, I mean, another reason why probably Singapore is the best bet for him specifically is because he's not the youngest.
Yeah.
And his health has been quite concerning over the past few months.
Yeah.
So if you imagine going to any country in Southeast Asia, again, Singapore would probably come up amongst the top, if not the top, in terms of health facilities or just ease of getting medical help in the event something happens.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, so Singapore really building their street cred.
Yeah. But I mean, it's kind of crazy. And we thought we saw the peak of religious fervor when Taylor Swift was in town already, right?
Oh, this is literally religious.
This is really, yeah. And the face of it is again that same man, Edwin Tong, right? You know, at the face of it, it's just, he's having quite a good first quarter, I must say.
And then there's been some talk that elections might also happen in September, right?
Wow. Actually, this actually does throw a bit of a spanner in the works as well, right?
You think?
I don't think you'd want... I mean, you can't possibly have elections the same time that Pope's coming down. So that tells you that
that
not,
week,
yeah, that week or even the week before, probably not gonna.
Oh, that's true. Because if 60,000 people are going, plus like maybe cat thousand, maybe like even 500 people out there,
security and everything,
yeah, and you have voter base,
will they
be like, I'm gonna vote or I'm gonna go listen to the Pope?
Exactly. You can't. So this now this throws it tells you it limits when the GE could actually happen. Not definitely not before this Pope.
And it's not gonna be F1 weekend also.
Correct. Yeah, F1 weekend. They need to capitalize on the high of F1 weekend, then go to the polls, right?
Yeah. So most probably September,
Because I'm starting to see rumors online about September, October. But this kind of, I think it rules out September already because it won't be early September because of this, and it won't be late September because of F1 already. Yeah.
Unless World Pope is giving the mass, then PM Lee comes out.
I mean, there will be political figures there.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah,
because some of them are religious themselves; they will attend, right?
Yeah.
You can't begrudge them that opportunity to see the Pope, right?
Yeah.
Anyone who goes to Vatican, that's one of the highlights, also, If you're lucky enough to go and actually see the Pope in person, right?
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a religious way. I mean it as like, it's just part of the experience.
Yeah, it's part of the experience.
You've been to Vatican before, right?
No, I'm going to Italy in June.
Oh, okay.
And I do want to go to the Vatican.
To see
again,
the Pope.
Yeah. I mean, if I can see the Pope there, of course, I'll be like, oh, I can't see you now. I'll see you back home.
I'll see you in Singapore.
Until I found out about this announcement, it's just it's just a very cultural thing.
Yeah.
You just go there and like a city that has religion all around it and at its core, it's just something to see.
Yeah. I mean, I visited Vatican before, but I didn't get to see the Pope or anything like that.
So, I mean, interesting. And just to correct myself just now, if the elections were happening in September, it won't be PM Lee anymore. It'll be PM Wong.
I would assume so,
PM Wong.
Yeah. But kind of crazy, yeah? Like,
crazy, man.
Now the intersection of all these, these big visitors coming actually might have a bearing on our local politics also, right? The timing of different things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, we got to check our concert schedules and everything.
But who are the other religious leaders like up there with the Pope? Dalai Lama?
I mean, the Dalai Lama comes.
The Dalai Lama comes.
I guess, yeah.
The rest all are more like deities, not living...
I mean, but there are religious leaders who from every religion, right?
Yeah.
Who probably can command a very big audience.
Yeah.
Also, I'm sure there are. It's just that we're not the target market, right? Mm. We don't know. Yeah. I mean, the Pope is, in general, quite a lot of people.
Universal.
Yeah. It's like you said, it's a cultural thing. Right? It's not even about religion, really. Yeah. It's a
cultural thing.
Yeah.
But
I mean, if push comes to shove, if you had a chance to, if you got a ticket, get tickets. Don't you pay?
You get
tickets.
You think you'll be a ticket master or not? Then have to go in a queue. Confirm, right?
It will have to be ticketed. Come on, there's no way it's not ticketed.
This, as in, no. Like you think people have
carousel,
to queue up?
You have to go carousel and buy tickets. Then that's where the scams already happen. This one's like next level scamming.
It would probably need to be, definitely need to be ticketed. You think? Yeah. I don't know if people pay. Do people pay for these kind of things?
I mean, it's a once in a lifetime
donation thing. Then it becomes a donation.
Okay, donation. But it is a once in a lifetime thing, right? Like you said, the last time he came was
1986.
86, yeah. So it's like you want to be able to tell your children or grandchildren, last time the Pope came in 2024, I was there,
Yeah. So your question was whether if I get a ticket, I'll go.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind.
It's a cultural thing.
It's a cultural thing. And plus, I mean, my wife is Catholic. Her family is Catholic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I already go to church with her.
So you just go to 0 to 100. Then you tell the rest of your family.
I go to church already. It's not like, whatever, if heaven does exist, I will confirm book my slot already.
Hey, sorry, I can't go to Mass this Sunday because I'm going to see the Pope.
How baller will that be, man?
Yeah.
Interesting, lah.
Same. If I had a chance to go to Taylor Swift, I would have gone. It's a cultural thing.
If you get a chance to go for a mass by the Pope, you will go.
100%, yeah. Save me that trip to the Vatican or Italy.
But interesting, man. It really opens up the possibilities of who else is the sports hub trying to get to come to Singapore.
It's kind of... Yeah, it's interesting.
Interesting. Exciting, like exciting.
Exciting. But I mean, there were a lot of jokes. Oh, is he coming for F1? But he's not. It's not coinciding with F1.
Yeah, F1 is only the last weekend or something. Yeah,
22nd
right?
September.
22nd. Yeah.
Bit late.
But yeah, cool, man.
Cool. So, on to other happy things. What is your one show comment?
My one show comment was a comment by Shogun MJ on our latest episode 513 about the writers objecting to IMDA using their works to train AI and no more trishaws for Singapore. I think when we were talking about the trishaw topic, I made a big fuck up, man. Yeah. As correctly pointed out by Shogun MJ, who states that Harish confuses Switzerland with Swedes like an American. The river floating is in Bern. Because I think what I said was in Sweden or like on TikTok, there was this video of people in Switzerland going down a river. And I said, like, you know, the Swedes just do it all the time.
Yep.
Which I realize is wrong because it would be the Swiss.
Yes.
But this person pointed out that on TikTok, the river floating is in Bern, also in Basel, a thing both happening in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's also happening in other countries. You should try it, quite fun, because I assume they're based there. The TikTok video is from Bern floating down the river, A-A-R-E, R. Cheers from Switzerland. Oh, yes. So they are based in Switzerland. Apologies for the fuck up. I feel like a dumbass. But yeah. That was my one show comment.
Yeah. But
It was unintentional. Of course, I know Swiss are from Switzerland, Swedes are from Sweden. It was just in that moment I made a mistake.
It happens. I think people got to cut you some slack.
No, but they were very polite. So I would say the comment was polite. I didn't feel offended or anything.
A lot of times we have to move our mouths first before our minds have really
talk through.
We've done the fact check on in end-to-end, right?
Yeah,
unfortunately, that's just a hazard of the job, right? Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. Indeed. We try our best not to make mistakes like that, but it happens. My one-shot comments also on the same episode where, I thought we had a pretty interesting discussion about talking about trishaws as a form of commuting. And yeah, there were a lot of comments from WeReal and Nightcat and Original Goat One and all talking about what is the, what they've experienced or seen in other countries about how they use waterways as a form of commuting and all that. And whereas in Singapore, we just don't have that option, right?
Mm.
So yeah, it's interesting to hear about all this because it's not something that we don't even think about it, right? But actually, it's a very scenic form of transport that could be quite interesting, like using a waterways to get. I think one of the suggestions even from Original Goat was, in principle, you could take a boat from Ang Mo Kio or Bishan down the Kalang River all the way to Marina Bay.
Yeah.
Which I think it sounds fucking awesome. Right? That was like my commute in the morning and all.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. And
and it's just one way, right?
One way.
Fucking great, man.
Yeah, you come home yourself, right? But to get to Marina Bay in the morning, maybe another boat is cool, right?
Yeah, because I mean, Singapore, we do have waterways.
Yeah.
Right? Why not build something around it?
Make it an experience.
How cool would that be, man?
Yeah, because I was watching all these videos about train trips, those like cross country train trips, like in Canada, for example, from Vancouver to Toronto.
Yeah.
They have all these like first class cabins. Yeah, it's like 4 days of training, like literally sitting on the train and you're not passing by like the nicest towns or anything, They're all like blanketed in snow.
Mm.
There's great views, everything. But a lot of the towns are industrial towns, for example. Mm. But it's part of the charm of the country, right? They just fully embrace it and they just build a premium experience around it and becomes a tourist attraction in itself already. So I don't know why can't we do Ang Mo Kio Bishan to all the way down to Marina Bay?
Fucking
great. It's like, I don't know how many hours it'll take, but it'll be damn fun, right?
But Ang Mo Kio Bishan would be, what would be the route? Like
Kalang River, down the Kalang River
all the way.
Probably a couple of longkangs along the way or something.
I mean, longkang still okay lah. Then you imagine you can, in front of my house there's the Geylang River.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like a longkang, but it's the Geylang River.
Yeah.
And once in a while, you see like people from, NEA or the people in charge of cleaning up the river, they go down on these boats.
Oh.
And it's dope, man.
Yeah. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, they go down and you just look, you're like, oh shit, that is so awesome.
Yeah.
And then once in a while, you see otters and all.
Yeah.
Right. And it goes all the way to the bay.
Yeah.
And people can canoe on or kayak on certain parts of the water up till a certain point.
Yeah.
But I mean, if they just make it a bit more accessible, can you imagine if like if I need to go to the stadium or something, I go around my house, I just climb into the river.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great, man.
Kayak's still a bit inaccessible because it's like very intense.
No, you just have like boats like every
I think it should be
every
boats,
15,
sampans or 20
something. Minutes or something just go down. We already have a sampan ride in MBS.
Yeah. Repurpose the boats.
You repurpose the boats. Correct. And like actually have it be, I mean, we're an island.
Yeah.
We have so many waterways. But right now, it's just like drains.
Yeah. We treat them like drains.
Yeah, we treat them like drains.
Yeah, they could be an attraction in themselves.
Yeah. So, I mean, even someone else pointed out, right, from what they recall, there was a boat briefly from Tanjung Rhu to Raffles Place. But I also heard that before.
Yeah. Correct.
Which is what we kind of were talking about, right?
Yeah. Operational losses. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Fucking great.
But cool. It's nice, nice to sit here and imagine. And I mean, we had Desmond Lee on some time ago and just talking about, like, you know, the future of what Singapore landscape should look like, right?
Long
Island and everything. Why can't this also be part of it, right?
Then
they just celebrated Songkran in Thailand and all that, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that's like it's a celebration of like the water and waterways as well, right?
Does it celebrate waterways?
I don't know, but I mean, water is a big part of it, right? So I think our relationship with water is always be thinking like PUB, new water. It's very, very functional, right? There's no romance around water in Singapore. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I saw something like over the weekend also, they announced a water bomb festival in Singapore.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. But it's, when I Googled it now, it's like a concert that just has water spraying out and it's meant to celebrate K-pop.
That sounds like your Coldplay concert. People sweat in your face and everything. It's like water same bomb. Thing. Right? Water bomb also.
Yeah. But imagine that would be so cool, man.
Yeah.
So cool. But yeah, cool, man. All right. And what is your one shock thing, man?
My one shock thing was, like I mentioned, I was just watching a lot of these videos about first class travel around Singapore. So Kara and Nate, the YouTubers with like almost 4 million subscribers, they did a video a few months ago, about 9 months ago, about 13 hours in Singapore Airlines first class suite from London to Singapore. So I thought it was just a very interesting watch. In terms of, and it led me down the rabbit hole of just watching all these videos about outrageous first class suites around the world, Qatar, Emirates, and even Japan Airlines. There's a whole economy and everything about it, about miles and how to maximize your time and what you can do and all that. So yeah, it was just interesting to see that there are these people who pursue experiencing first class travel as their lifeline, as their job, and everything. I mean, do you have any desire to try out one of these things?
The first class suites. Last time there was once when I was still working at SIA.
Yeah.
Where I had to go overseas for travel, and then on the way back, they upgraded me to first class.
First class suite.
I mean, it wasn't the first class suite, it was the one where there's the bed where you can
lie flat. Oh, okay.
It fucking blew my mind.
So what? How long was that leg?
It was from France.
Oh, so it was 12 hours. Oh shit! Yeah. How was that?
It was great because it was the kind where if I want to sleep, right, I have to ask the stewardess. Yeah. I would like to sleep. They ask me to step out. They make it flat, and then I go in. I was like, how am I in the sky?
Yeah.
But it also didn't help that earlier that day when I was walking down the street in France before I went to the airport, I was having a great kebab. But halfway through, I realized a lot of sauce from the kebab spilled onto my khaki pants.
Okay.
So when I went to the airport, I had a big khaki stain, stain on my pants. So when they upgraded me to first class, when I was walking down the aisles, I had to use my sweater to cover the stain.
They didn't offer to dry clean it for you on the spot or something?
Because I was hiding the stain.
I see. Yeah. So what's the big deal?
Like if I was in first class, then my pants have a big stain like that.
But that's the thing. You watch all these videos of people, they're not wearing suits.
True.
They're really just travelers, wearing a t-shirt and everything. And just watching them experience it kind of, I mean, if you can imagine yourself experiencing it. Like.
Yeah.
So for you, it's like, did it spoil travel for you forever?
No. Like, I think it's a complete waste of money.
If you had to pay for it yourself, right?
First class. Business class, I can still see.
Okay.
But first class, it feels like this is just if you have too much money.
It's just to flex. Right?
Flex. Like business class, if you're going, you have long meetings ahead, you want to get a good night's rest. Okay, arguable.
Yeah.
But first class, I was like lying down. I could do push-ups and crunches. in the place where I was lying down.
I was like,
what the hell is going on? And of course, I just kept eating and drinking the whole time.
But apparently, I heard Singapore Airlines is that you have to keep ordering. Like they don't have any amenities like a mini bar or anything. Mm. And so you have to keep asking.
Other airlines different, is it?
Other airlines, from what I observed, Qatar or whatever, they already have a mini bar there and some snacks for you. And they replenish it on their own. So you don't need to keep ordering. So whereas Singapore Airlines, they probably try to limit your consumption by making you have to ask for things. It's not a free flow kind of thing.
Which is interesting because just last week, I listened to a podcast that was talking about Ryanair. Mm. So, the CEO, Michael O'Leary, he's very controversial. But I think he has been very vocal about how the idea of first class in the sky is unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all been sold this idea that if you want to fly, it has to be luxurious.
Yeah.
He said the philosophy of his airline is it's going to be uncomfortable. You can hate us, but we'll get you from point A to point B super cheap.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting. So now that you're mentioning the first class thing, it just feels like, does it need to be that luxurious?
Mm.
I don't know. Or what's the highest class that you have ended up in somehow?
I was once also, for some reason, I think I was flying Turkish Airlines or something. And I was flying to the US or whatnot. They bumped me up to business class on the
long first leg.
The long leg. And it was it was awesome. Except that I fell asleep for the whole flight. Oh, so I barely enjoyed anything. It was just so comfortable. I just slept all the way through. And then maybe I had ice cream or something. But other than that, it was very comfortable.
But I mean, you fell asleep the whole way means that, it was comfortable.
It's comfortable. But again, sometimes I think about what's the point of having such luxury while getting to a destination, right?
Exactly.
But again, it comes from a place where, in army, we're trained to sleep anywhere. In the tree tunnel, also we can sleep. With a rifle propped up against a rifle, I also can sleep. Whereas not everyone can tahan that kind of conditions, right?
Yeah, but even then, the rates for first class and all, then if you're traveling first class, I can't imagine what kind of hotel you're going to be staying at the country you're going to if it's a holiday, right?
So,
the video, what you said was it was interesting.
Interesting. And then just understanding, the nuances between, when you talk about first class, between different airlines and everything.
Mm.
I think Japan Airlines just launched their first class or relaunched their first class on the A380 specifically. And because the A380 is a big plane that they're not going to produce anymore, so it's seen as this very coveted thing, right? And the amount of space that you have. So, there are levels to this first class suite. So that that's quite interesting to understand the differences. Yeah.
Mm.
And these people really, they analyze everything.
Yeah, they're hardcore. Man.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, my one shook thing was a blog post by Tim Urban, who runs Wait But Why, which is a blog that I think you also are familiar with.
Mm.
He writes, I love the way he writes because he's got a great sense of humor. He describes his blog as the one with stick figures. Mm. So he does illustrations to explain concepts. I think he's been commissioned by Elon Musk himself to explain the dreams of Tesla and SpaceX.
Yeah.
But his latest post was titled Tales from the Eclipse.
Mm.
And it was about his recent experience being very proactive to witness the eclipse that just happened in the US.
Yeah.
And see it properly. Because he said in 2017 there was a total solar eclipse passing through the US, but he kind of was flippant about it. But he had huge FOMO and he totally regrets it. And this time around, he actually flew to a place in Arkansas to avoid any cloud cover. And he said, it was, the whole experience was amazing. Have you seen videos or not of the eclipse that happened last week?
No, I haven't. No.
Literally during the day, middle of the day, for 4.5 minutes, it was pitch black.
Oh, pitch black, yeah.
Yeah, and I think the next eclipse is going to be happening in a couple of hundred years' time. Total solar eclipse in that part of the US.
Mm-hmm.
But I can imagine, I can't imagine how surreal that must feel. Because Singapore, we've never had a total solar eclipse.
Never, yeah.
I think maybe partial.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was just interesting. Like, he just said that, yeah, it was, how often can you do something that is like a once-in-a-lifetime thing, la?
True.
And maybe as you get older, you have a bit more appreciation for this kind of stuff, la.
I was seeing the Pope by then.
I was seeing the Pope.
Once-in-a-lifetime thing. Yeah,
seeing the Pope.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's less, I think, about FOMO per se, but yeah, it's just an interesting thing to see once in your lifetime.
But Singapore, very hard to do all these things. I've camped out at, like NUS and all that before. For one of those, like, oh, you're supposed to be able to see Saturn or Venus in the sky at this time. And like literally lying out on the field at like 5 a.m. and it's just clouds. Nothing else.
But was it a date or what?
No, it wasn't. It was like, I went with like my cousin or something like that.
What was it?
Yeah. It was really just like, oh, this sounds interesting.
And you couldn't see anything?
All the way to sunrise, just sat there and just fed mosquitoes. And it was like, it wasn't just me. It was like a whole big group of people. So
Singapore
was
shit.
Yeah, very hard to appreciate this kind of thing in Singapore. Huh?
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, so that's why when he said, it's quite interesting. And there's almost no shame to be excited about this kind of thing. Because I think he said, 2017, he was like, you know, I got better shit to do, but he regretted it, and now we saw it.
Yeah.
And I just like the way he writes.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Cool.
Awesome. Wow. Okay. All right.
So a lot of interesting podcasts this week. We're recording quite a number with interesting guests or so.
Yeah, hopefully, fingers crossed, all goes well.
Yeah. It's not the Pope, in case you're wondering. Pope, but we'd love to have the Pope on if he can find time in those couple of days. Yeah.
But thanks for listening, everybody. And as always, remember to follow us on every social media platform and tell at least one person about us who may not have heard of us yet. And what else, Terrence?
You know, we want to work with us, check us out on ministryoffunny.com.
Hell yeah. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.